Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thanks for being here. A special welcome to all of our school families today and all of our students who are going to sing us some songs. You've come on a special day for that. We're looking forward to that. Overjoyed that way to be together. You know, the world is a tough place, isn't it? Hard things happen. Life kind of beats us up at times, but this is the blessing of Sunday morning. This is the blessing of church. This is the blessing of being with the Lord and in His Word, is that He has great gifts for us. He promises us His help and His forgiveness and a clear conscience and all these amazing gifts that He has for us. So we rejoice to be together today and receive those gifts. Thanks for joining us. We welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning. Thanks for joining us. We wish you the Lord's blessings as well. Our service will begin this morning with our opening hymn. It's hymn 699 in the hymnal there in the pew. And it is entitled, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. So we'll sing that hymn. And on the last verse of the hymn, if you're able, we invite you to stand on the last verse. So let's sing together, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. Begin this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, Have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ. And by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our Kyrie there on page 3, spoken this morning. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory, for Jesus Christ, only Son.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this, the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany, comes from the prophet Jeremiah in the 17th chapter. Jeremiah helps us understand some important things in this text we'll talk about later in the sermon, about how truly it's the man who trusts in the Lord, that's in verse 7 of our reading, that finds strength for life and the things that they need. We begin in verse 5 of Jeremiah 17. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our epistle lesson this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, writes to the church, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried,
that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In this life only we have hoped in Christ. We are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand, if you're able, for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our sermon hymn for this morning? It's hymn 474, "Alleluia, Jesus is Risen." Let's sing.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Boy, we've come a long way in our world with technology, haven't we? Amazing things we're seeing today, incredible things. Who remembers the days of driving down the road in a vehicle trying to get somewhere, and they had to have one of those old-fashioned things, those archaic old-fashioned things called a map? I remember. It's just been in my short lifetime that these things have all changed, but we used to drive down the road and try to figure out where we were going, and it helped to have a passenger, right? Because they could have the map open and they could give you directions, and even if they got snarky, you got over it, and all was well when you arrived at your destination. And then it went from those maps to these like suction cup devices that would suction cup in your windshield. The little, remember these? The little Garmin GPSs. They would suction cup up there, and then you could program the address of where you wanted to go into the GPS, and it would tell you how to get there. And that was pretty cool. I followed those things all over the place. You probably did some too. But now you can talk to your phone like it's your passenger and say, I'm not going to say the magic words for the Apple phone because everybody's phone will ignite, but that phrase, and then I need directions to etc. And you get them. And they tell you where to go. They even give you alternate routes. And as you're driving, the phone will even tell you which lane you should be in, you know, so you don't miss the exit. And that's pretty amazing. But this last week, I was at a church conference in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have got to say that I saw something last week that blew my mind. Because down in Phoenix, if you've never heard of it, it's called a Waymo. Anybody ever heard of a Waymo? Waymos. It's not just the phone giving directions, friends. Now it's the whole entire car just driving people around with no driver. And they're all over the city of Phoenix. You can get in them at the airport. They were automatically pulling up to the pickup at the airport, and people were climbing in those cars. And I looked in the driver's seat, and there's nobody there. The wheel turns by itself. It's got all these sensors on it. This has got to be like the pinnacle, at least as far as my short life has been, the pinnacle of navigation technology. Car doesn't just navigate for you, the car drives for you. Waymo, if you haven't seen it, check it out online, it's pretty cool. Waymos are amazing. And it got me thinking, we've gotten so far in this sort of world of transportation and navigation that we don't even need a driver anymore. We can just get in an automatic machine, and it'll take us where we want to go. That made me realize, in an age where we have technology like that, but for us, ourselves, personally, how good are we at navigating our own lives? Our hearts, I mean. We hear people say all the time, I honestly don't know what my purpose is here on earth. Why does God have me here? What am I doing here? I feel like I'm caught. I don't know where I'm going, etc., etc., etc. And even if people aren't saying it, they're often thinking it. We're often feeling it. Our navigation systems of our own lives, boy, they're not near as progressive as what we saw down in the city of Phoenix. In fact, our navigation systems, oh, they're kind of a wreck. And we can see that reality this morning in our text from Luke chapter 6. That's what's so amazing about this text, I think, is Jesus comes to this great crowd and to his disciples. And did you hear the things that he said? He said, blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you when people hate you. And then on the other side of it, he said, verse 24 and following, but woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full now. Woe to you who laugh now. And woe to you when people speak well of you. That's where you can see it. See, because our navigational systems of our own hearts, they're taking us exactly to the last things Jesus mentions. To the woes. Who could say they don't want to be rich? Who could say they don't enjoy being full? None of us. Who could say they don't have a better day when they're laughing? And who could say that they don't want people to speak well of them? And yet Jesus says, woe to you who are these things. And our navigation systems of our hearts, these are the things that they're taking us to. The things that Jesus is rebuking. And that's got to kind of get us wondering, right? Kind of get us thinking, what in the wide world of sports is Jesus trying to tell us this morning? What is he saying? It's pretty amazing how Jeremiah put it in our lesson from the Old Testament. He said some amazing things about this kind of reality. He said in verse 5, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. I think what Jeremiah is getting at is kind of like the idea that our own navigation systems, they're not going to help us out much. Turns out in this sinful world, as we deal with sin in the world and sin in our own bodies, that sin's going to lead us in places that our Lord is telling us this morning, woe to you. To dangerous places, to things that can hurt us, to things that can hurt us eternally. Why is he teaching us this? There's something about us as people that it's not that we don't believe in God. It's not that we don't love God. It's not that any of those things are true. It's that we want our cake and we want to eat it too, right? We're about this game where we're trying to figure out, well, how do I keep God happy and make sure he's good with me, but I also get all the stuff that my navigation system in my heart is pulling me towards. We're about that. Looking for pleasure, looking to fulfill lusts, looking for all those things. What's Jesus trying to show us? He's showing us something that we don't usually see, brothers and sisters. He's letting us peer into heaven this morning through his words. See, because we can tell in the Gospel of Luke that this really isn't just about money, or just about food, or just about wealth, or laughing, or joy. Because in the very next chapter, Jesus helps two people. A wealthy Roman centurion who had plenty of riches, probably, and plenty of food on his table. And also a poor woman, the widow in Nain. He helps them both. He doesn't make a distinction between them, and he's only willing to give his help to one of them or the other one. No, it's not really about the money, right? It's not really about the food. It's not really about the good reputation. He's letting us peer into heaven just a little bit. He's helping us see something that's incredible. Because this is what he does with his word. I don't know about you, but when I read verse 24 and 25 that said, woe to you who are rich, woe to you who are full, I mean, I spend some time full. I do. And compared to the rest of the world, did you know if you make $25,000 a year that you're richer than 95% of the globe? So when I read, woe to you who are rich, I'm thinking, uh-oh. This is what he's up to. See, when we read these texts, they're intended to convict us. That's their purpose. And this is the amazing thing that we see, that when we read, woe to you who are rich, and we go, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. What do I do? What are you saying, Lord? You know, We shouldn't wiggle out of it. We shouldn't try to find a way to wiggle out. We should just deal with what our Lord is saying to us. He's convicting us. See, because as soon as we see that, then we realize something else. This is how he lets us gaze into heaven for a moment. We realize that we might be well off in the world. We might have what we need. We might be full. We might have all the things he mentions. But as soon as we hear him say, woe to us, then as we stand before God in our hearts at that moment, we realize, guess what? We're not actually rich. Not before God. Jesus' word of loss this morning shows us that we're poor before him. You know, Jeremiah says in another place in his prophecy, our righteous deeds are but filthy rags before the Lord, and that we think that we're rich and wealthy and capable, but don't we realize that we're poor, blind, and naked when it comes to what? Not riches, not food, but righteousness before God. That our sin has corrupted us, and that we cannot save ourselves from our sinful condition. So as soon as Jesus points this out in the woes, we collapse like Isaiah did in the temple when the cherubim were there and the seraphim were there and he was before God. And when he's looked upon that, he said, I am a man of unclean lips that lives amongst an unclean people. When we hear woe to you, we realize we are poor before God in all these ways. And then Jesus' words bring about a different spin, don't they? Because when we see our poverty before God in our sin, when we see that we're not rich before him in our sin, we hear, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who are hungry. And we start realizing the way this works is it's not about us becoming anything in this life. It's about what he did for us on the cross. It's about the resurrection. And what Jesus accomplished, it's not about us. Our guidance systems will take us all to weird places in life and cause us much pain and suffering in the process. Because in those things that we seek in our navigation systems, there's no lasting comfort. They come and they go. They're here one day, they're gone the next. They do not offer us what we need. Jesus does. In his promises, he gives us what we need. And we're going to remain in that poverty. And Jesus knows it. He knows that we cannot save ourselves from our sinful condition. He knows that we need a new navigation system in our hearts. And brothers and sisters, this is what he does. This is what he did. John chapter 20. If you're familiar with this text, after Jesus' resurrection, he comes to the disciples. They're locked in the upper room, scared of the Jews, because they just watched what the Jews did to Jesus in the crucifixion. And so they're up there, and the doors are locked, and Jesus shows up in the room with the disciples. He says, peace to you. And then you know what he does? He breathes on them. This is what the text of John's gospel says. He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. That's a weird text. Because we say, okay, I guess, you know, I'm a Christian. I get the Holy Spirit part. But what's going on with the breathing? Why is he breathing on the guys? I mean, if you've ever had somebody stand so close to you when they talk to you, it's kind of weird, right? You're like, whoa, back up, personal space. But the people who you do have in your life who can breathe on you and it isn't weird, there's a pretty amazing connection, right? The people you are that close with in your family. What's with the breathing? Well, this is Jesus imparting the new navigation system. Because back in the book of Genesis, if you recall, at the beginning of creation, God forms Adam out of the dust of the ground, out of the Adam. He forms Adam. But Adam lays lifeless. Does anybody remember what God did to Adam so that he came to life? He breathed. Yeah. He breathed the breath of life. This is Jesus in John chapter 20 after the resurrection. And you know what he's doing? He's making a brand new creation. Those of faith, those of trust in Christ, that look to him and his navigational realities. And you know what those are, friends? Those are his word and his Holy Spirit. And those things will lead us through this life. And they will. Thus saith the Lord God. They'll get us to our destination. That's his brand new navigational system for you and for me. And this is why he's willing to say, woe to you who are rich, woe to you who are full. Because the things of the world, the material things, the things we lust after, they take us away from Christ. And they lock our hearts in on them, and pretty soon we're serving them and functionally, in some ways, worshiping them. Because we're giving our time, talent, treasure, blood, sweat, and tears to those things instead of to Christ. Jesus offers us, gives to us, salvation, the forgiveness of sins. He goes to the cross to make sure that we have a navigation that'll take us home. And we won't get lost. And he'll carry us through. And it does. So each and every day we have this blessed chance as people living our very short lives to be led by him. When something happens in our lives, to go to his word to understand it instead of to our own hearts. Our own hearts will lead us astray. They're worse than a Waymo. The Waymos are actually pretty good. There was one in my rearview mirror. And I couldn't believe there was a computer driving behind me. Our own hearts are dangerous. I wouldn't get in that car, if you know what I mean. Instead, we trust the Word of God and what it tells us so that we get to hear those wonderful, wonderful words, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter thou in. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is printed for us on page 8 in our bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We now have a special music presented by our Trinity Lutheran School students. Thank you. Wonderful work. Wonderful work. We continue in our service now on page 9 with our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, Lord, truly you have given us your word that guides us in all truth and leads us to the truths that you have given us, eternal salvation, life, and the forgiveness of sins through your Son Jesus and his cross and resurrection. Lord, make your kingdom here on earth, that kingdom of Christ, made known in the preaching and miracles of your Son. Lord, make it known in the churches that pastors and congregation members alike should share this great and wonderful gift. And Lord, gather together a multitude, Lord, that we may know wisdom has come in our flesh in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, grant, O Lord, that your people may always hold fast. Lord, that generations to come would love your promises and walk in your truth and dwell in your house. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, preserve us from the ways of the wicked and prosper us in your paths. We commend to you all who bear office in our land and ask that you make them a blessing to those that they serve. Grant to us every joy in the calling that you've given to each of us, that we would render service to you in works of love toward you and our neighbor. And the Lord, those works of service could be done in joy in your name. Remember those in need of work or honest labor and daily bread, and give them gainful employment according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, hear our prayer for those who are troubled, for those who struggle with memory or thought, for the sick, for all those in need of healing. Lord, we name especially before you those that are in the prayers of our church from the altar to the altar this morning. We name Sandy Cody, Jim Schrader, Dick Greitz, Lisa Strobeck, the Reynolds family, Bob Phillips, Larry Reinbarger, Susan St. Cyr, John Johnson, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, send forth your powerful comfort to those that we've brought before you this day in the name of Christ Jesus, that they would hear your word and trust in you, Lord, in your mercy. Bless all who trust in you, Lord, those who learn each and every day, each one of us, to look to your word for guidance, to hear your counsel, and to follow and trust in you. For your Son has risen from the dead, and he's promised that he is the first fruits from among those who sleep. Preserve us in Christ with hope beyond this life. Lord, we also ask this morning that you comfort all those who are mourning a loss. Lord, that you'd comfort them with the certainty of Christ's resurrection, of his provision now in this time, that you'd grant to us to live confident and in expectation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, plant us as trees by the stream of Christ our Savior. Root us securely in his word and wisdom. And do not let us turn from you, nor put our trust in man and in flesh. Preserve us from all anxiety, Lord. Take our fears away through the right
respect and reverence of you. Cause us by your Holy Spirit to bear much fruit in our lives, and help us in affliction and persecutions that come to stand firm and to rejoice at that great reward that's laid up for those who trust in you. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now pray together the Lord's Prayer as the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our tithes and offerings, where we have a chance to return to the Lord a portion of those things that he so graciously blessed us with. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy some instrumental music from our organist. Peace of the Lord be with you always. We invite the congregation to please stand for benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious unto you, and the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Please be seated. We sing our closing hymn now. That's hymn number 923, Almighty Father, Bless the Word.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Always a blessing to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thanks for joining us for our service. Great job to the students today who did a wonderful job singing. That last song looked kind of complicated, huh? But you guys did great. It was wonderful. Enjoyed that very much. Thanks for being here with us today. Just a few announcements we want to share, but first, if we could have a real quick prayer for our mission offering for our mites today. One of the flyers in your bulletin talks about feeding Haitian children through the gospel meals. So we have a box in the back for those who are able and willing to help with that. So let's just have a quick prayer for those offerings. Lord Jesus, truly, Lord, you do bless us with your guidance each and every day. And Lord, you bring us every morning to knowing that we're not righteous, but you are. But you've given your righteousness to us for free. And Lord, we're blessed to know that. So help us, Lord, also to give as we ask your blessing on the gifts that are given to help the children in Haiti, Lord, through the gospel meals. Bless those gifts and the givers, Lord, and those that cannot give. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just a few announcements. If you like, we welcome you and invite you to stay for our annual chili cook-off, which is happening right after the service this morning. When we get finished with the chili activities, then I'm also starting a new class today called Being Lutheran in Today's World. So if you want to learn more about Lutheran faith, you're welcome to stick around for that as well. We'll be getting started with that class today. February the 25th, which is coming up real quick, is our next Theology on Tap out of the Colorado Farm Brewery. We do that at 6:30 p.m. in the evenings. So we'll have some sort of scandalous theological topic to talk about. And we always have a good time. We invite you out to that if you're interested in attending and talking theology with us. It's a lot of fun. March 8th and 9th, don't forget, the Wind Symphony and the Brass Band from Concordia University in Seward, Nebraska will be here in town. They'll be at Ortega Middle School.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinity.